Today's podcast is brought to you by the Herzog Foundation. Breast cancer rates are increasing among younger women. In fact, women born in 1990 are at a 20% increased risk of developing this disease compared with women born in 1955. Today, beauty queen Christy Clark talks about her victory over breast cancer. Stay with us. This is the Moms for America podcast. Each week, leaders and everyday champions tell personal stories, share advice, and tackle the issues most important to moms. Hi, moms. I'm Debbie Corlitis, your host, and welcome to the Moms for America podcast. We are so glad that you're joining us again this week. Right? Every episode, we gather together to inspire, encourage, and educate moms in their journey through motherhood. Well, today, same story, encouragement in your journey. Well, today's story is about Christy Clark. In 2022, Christy won the crown of Mrs. American. This was a testimony to her resilience, her faith, and her fortitude in her battle against breast cancer. After getting her diagnosis, Christy started her influential cancer blog called The Blonde Bombshell. Through this platform, she has empowered countless individuals by sharing her personal journey, insights, and resources related to breast cancer and thriving after diagnosis. Welcome, Christy, to the Moms for America podcast. I'm so glad you made it here. We've met you a couple times in person, and I've wanted to have you on forever.
I'm so, you know, I love Moms for America. So
I know you do.
So honored to be here with y'all today.
Thank you so much. Well, let's let everyone get a chance to know you. Then we're going to get into our story. We're going to talk about the topic at hand and pushing through this, because a lot of women, obviously this happens with a lot of women, breast cancer. But before we get to that, I want everyone to meet you because you've got a beautiful family, your husband. Tell us a little bit about your tribe.
Yeah. So I'm a military wife. So my favorite thing in the world is being a military wife. Josh is actually currently deployed on his fifth deployment. Right now he's got a great one though. Normally he's in the Middle East. This time he's in Italy. So he's got a fantastic deployment right now. And then I have two children, Belle and Knox. They are 13 and 10. And Belle came with me to the Moms for America Summit that I spoke at a couple years ago. And yes, just, I mean, transformed her life. It was so great having her there. And then I have three bonus children. So Josh's children, he has three boys. So that we have a big tribe.
You're busy. You are busy. Yes. And love seeing that. Love. Thank you to your husband for his service. Thank you for, you know, just championing him. And, you know, that's a big weight on the spouses as well, you know, when someone is serving in the military. So thank you as well.
It is. Thank you.
All right. Well, let's start at the beginning a little bit. We've kind of got a couple different subjects with you, but I know that you did pageants, you held a title. I did pageants too back in the day. So tell us why you did that, the title that you won, and how basically you had a chance to use that platform to share your story. So pageant history real quick.
Yeah. So I'm not a pageant girl. I did one pageant when I was about 15, just for fun. It was the USA.
I think everybody usually does, right? They do one for fun.
Well,
right?
I live in South Carolina. So we have a lot of ladies that grow up since they were teeny tiny doing them. And this one I did at 15, just for fun, thought it would be great. I was the USA system. Can't say enough about them. Absolutely fantastic. Love doing Miss Teen. And then I was diagnosed with breast cancer, fast forward years later. And as I'm talking to my husband, I said, well, I've got this platform and I feel like I should be talking about this. And then platform and pageants kind of go together. And I all of a sudden was like, my husband even said, you should do a pageant. And I'm really like, I'm like this super young girl and anything. So I ended up doing the Mrs. South Carolina pageant and won the title of Mrs. South Carolina American, and then went on to Mrs. American in Las Vegas, where I took my breast cancer story there and was crowned Mrs. American. So that really, I always say a lot of people do pageants and get a platform. I had a platform and did a pageant. So
I love
mine
that, right?
Was much different.
Right. And oftentimes it is birthed out of someone's experience. And sometimes people champion something that is of great interest to them and a concern for them. So you had a chance to share your story, really, through a blog, through speaking engagements, and showcasing that, for lack of a better term, when you were holding that title. Let's talk a little bit about your journey and, maybe is did the blog come before the pageant? What kind
Yes.
of what's the or okay, the
So
blog came before the
it kind
pageant.
of came hand in hand in a way. So I'm not, let's go back to 2020, height of COVID. Everything is just start. Well, actually, it's just starting to happen. This is February when I'm diagnosed. And I started writing a blog and I named it the Blonde Bombshell after a very sweet name that my husband always called me. And it was kind of an ironic thing to name a blog when you're going through breast cancer. You know, you're losing your hair, you're going through chemo and radiation. I've had a double mastectomy. I'm not at all feeling like a bombshell at all. So I
Right.
named it that way as like a cute little name he called me, but also a way to kind of feel a little better. So I named it this, and it took off. And I was getting ladies from all over the world, that were texting me on this blog, asking for my advice. Asking just for some comfort and hey, what did you do? And I started noticing that all this is getting traction. And I thought, you know, the reason I started the blog was that I didn't have any outlet. I had a couple ladies that I knew had breast cancer, and you kind of have, I'd say, one or two ways. You either have women who really want to talk about that story, or you want to have women who never want to talk about that story again.
Okay.
So in when you're going through it, a doctor can give you all sorts of advice, but I wanted the real advice. I wanted the stuff like, what do you do to make it so that your nails don't feel brittle? What do you do when you have mouth sores? What do you do with chemo? What does it actually feel like? And I couldn't get those answers. And normally you have a male doctor. I mean, that's what I tend to see. You have a lot of male oncologists or surgical oncologists. So they're giving you this
Right. From
information.
their right, kind of secondhand in a way.
Yes. And so
Right.
I wanted the real advice. And that's what made me start my blog. And that blog was my, what I call my platform, because I wanted to get it out as much as I could. Had no idea it would take me on a national stage and then turn into women's advocacy. So that is really, really where this all came from.
Another great example of a mama. A woman sharing her story that will encourage, inspire, educate, and help other women. This is what we do best. Women do love to share a good story. And sometimes it's a tough story or a tough journey, but we really are. We're very relational like that. We want everyone kind of to see and understand so we can help them.
Absolutely.
And obviously, it helped you as well with your journey.
Absolutely. It really did. It was monumental in feeling like I could thrive after breast cancer. That's what my platform was. A lot of people go, oh, you have a breast cancer awareness platform. We have enough awareness about, we all know 1 in 8 women are going to be diagnosed with breast cancer. That's unbelievable. We have a lot of awareness and we have a lot of money going into research, and I pray that that still occurs. But what we don't have are those women that say, you absolutely can thrive after this. This does not define you. You can do more things. You come out of something like this completely different than how you went in. And my whole journey was, how do you thrive after life storms? What do you do after something like that? And I wanted my daughter to know that. I wanted my son to be aware of that for one day when he's married and has children. I wanted him to know how strong women are.
Yeah, absolutely. I was even rereading a stat the other day that breast cancer is on the rise, record rise, and it's the most common cancer now for women under 40, and younger women are getting breast cancer at a astounding rate. So I don't know why. I guess there's a couple of, I guess there's many philosophies on that or ideas on that. This is something that as women, we have to be talking about more. Like you're saying, there is a lot of awareness, but how do you get through this? And that's the journey you want to share here today. Tell us about when you found out about this. What were your feelings? What was your plan of action? What is some of your advice?
Sure. So when I found out, it was March of 2020. So again, everybody's wearing masks. We're sort of, no, I'm sorry. It was February of 2020. I had my surgery in March of 2020. Everybody's wearing masks. My husband was deployed. And he was in the Middle East this time. And so I get the phone call. I had to have a biopsy. I had felt it myself, which was very unusual. Let me stress that to people. Not all breast cancers are the same, and that was something I did not know. I thought breast cancer was breast cancer. I had one called invasive lobular carcinoma. It was a very flat cancer. Most of the time, you don't feel it. I probably had had it for at least a year or so before I even knew, and I did happen to feel it while I was in the shower. I was not one of those check every month person. I wish I would have been, but I wasn't. I'd already had one mammogram in my life, so I was 40 when I had my first mammogram, 41 when I went in for this one. And I am the one that said, I feel something. I think I need this. I had a wonderful, wonderful doctor that said, you feel it, we need to get you in. I also had dense breast tissue, something that is not abnormal for women. You have sort of those lumpy kind of bumps, and so you don't think much of it. If it's something new, make sure you get it checked. I went in and had this biopsy done after having a mammogram, and they did see something. They didn't think it was anything, but they saw something. Had the biopsy, and that Monday got a phone call from the nurse navigator telling me, you do have breast cancer. So I immediately, right before all of this happened, my husband and I were talking. He's deployed. We're 8 hours apart. We're talking on the phone. I said, listen, if it's breast cancer, I just, we're going to handle it. But I don't think it is. And we kind of laughed about it. I said, oh, I'll get a mommy makeover, completely making light of it, not thinking anything of it. And honestly thinking, well, when you have breast cancer, okay, I'll have a mastectomy and I'll have breast implants and all will be good. Not at all how I thought it was going to go, and not at all how it ever goes. And so when I told my husband, he was eating dinner and we both were shocked. I think that was the only time he and I broke down about it. We were both just shocked. Went in the next day with my family, and immediately the ball started rolling on what that looked like for me. It went from you have breast cancer, you probably need to have a lumpectomy, all the way to I ended up having a double mastectomy because of how large it actually was. So I had
Wow.
had it for a while.
So that was a, like you said, you're kind of hoping it's A and it ends up being Z,
And it
both
normally
breast.
is. And that's one of the things I would tell women is that it is very rare in the technology we have for medical advancements. The one thing we don't have is this technology to actually tell us things about how large something is. I'll speak of just breast cancer. I went in, they saw something very little, didn't think it was anything. Then I went in for an MRI and they told me, oh, it's probably, just a teeny tiny little dot. It looks like maybe 5 millimeters. It was 7.7 centimeters. It was quite large.
Wow, because it was buried in there.
It was buried in there. And the advancements of an MRI machine, they're just not seeing it the same way. So it took them actually going in. It was not only in there, but I also had it in two of my lymph nodes. So it was already into my lymphatic system. So very scary. And that was
Oh,
all in one month.
sure.
I mean, I went from being diagnosed February 20th all the way to having a double mastectomy on March 24th and then beginning chemo directly after that.
How do you prepare for something like that? I guess this is a part of your blog.
It is. And the biggest takeaway for me was that I didn't stay where I was first. A widget in the system, I call it. And I always talk to women. I cannot believe how many women get answers that they don't like, and they just go, well, this is where I'm at. And what I mean by that is, I was told, first of all, I had a terrible surgical oncologist bedside manner. He was absolutely terrible. I walked in with my family, and my husband is on the phone 8 hours away. And he said, well, I see you brought your entourage. And that was number one. I kind of looked at him thinking, well, maybe he has a dry sense of humor. Well, it went from that to him telling me that I was going to have a lumpectomy. He gave me no choices. I felt more like I was a widget in the system. And then the last straw came when I had gotten the MRI and when his nurse called to set up the follow-up the next day. I said, well, I'm going to get a second opinion. And she said, well, then they can do their own MRI. I'm not giving you your results.
What?
Yes. And
Oh my.
so it was, I knew then this is
Yeah.
not. for me.
That is not going to be right. And again, you've got to be your own advocate, and you always have to get second, third opinions, especially
Absolutely.
You just do. So good for you.
Yes.
So
and
what
that's
happens
really
then?
where that's
Yeah.
really where that story kind of blossomed, was that I needed people to, I wanted women to understand that you are your own advocate. You have to
Yes.
advocate for yourself. And I went
Yes.
on to a totally different city and got, I went up to Charlotte, North
Good for
Carolina. I'm
you.
in South Carolina, and absolutely had a wonderful experience. But it was because of that I really believe that things turned out much differently for me.
All right, Mom, stay with us. We'll be right back after this break, and Christy will continue her story about surviving breast cancer. Hi, Moms. I'm excited to share some news about our new sponsor, the Herzog Foundation. We know you're passionate about raising patriots and empowering your children with the best education possible, and the Herzog Foundation shares that passion. They're dedicated to promoting liberty through education freedom and helping parents like you choose the best educational path. They offer a powerhouse of resources designed to support families and schools alike. Whether you're ready to dive in headfirst to the world of education or simply looking for more ways to empower your child's learning. From free training events to their must-read online publication, The Lion, they're committed to keeping you informed about what's happening in education. Also, if you've ever thought, Moms, about starting your own Christian school or co-op, their School Box online course will give you everything you need to get started on the right foot. Again, we are so proud to partner with the Herzog Foundation, and we encourage you to explore all their amazing tools and the insights that they offer. So go ahead, visit HerzogFoundation.com to learn more. You won't want to miss these incredible resources. Again, find it all out at HerzogFoundation.com.
You know, I've never really felt comfortable sharing pictures of my kids on social media. Then I found Tubu, a premium social app with an actual authentic community. No bots, no one trolling me or my family, just clean, wholesome content you can trust.
Well, welcome back, Moms. Before we continue our interview with the blonde bombshell, Christy Clark, about her breast cancer journey, I do want to go ahead and ask everyone to like, subscribe, and share our podcast with your mom friends. This is how we get our podcast out. This is how we encourage, inspire, and educate moms. So please, please share this podcast with your mom friends. Also, if you have an idea or a topic that you would like to email me about regarding the podcast, you would just email me at podcast@momsforamerica.net. I would love to hear from you. And lastly, if you are not a part of our tribe, you're not a part of our sisterhood, you're not a part of Moms for America, please join us. We are moms all across this country uniting together to fight for faith, family, freedom, and the Constitution. So how do you join Moms for America? It's very simple. You go to momsforamerica.us, our website. You sign up for our newsletter. You can check out any inquiries about starting a group in your area, finding out about groups in your area, our webinars, our seminars, our projects, our events, everything there to help you moms. We say that we are the ultimate support group, and we absolutely are. So please join us at Moms for America. We would love to have you. So double mastectomy, radiation, chemo, all of that. Give us a little bit of insight to that. Because, again, we're looking at 1 in 8 here. Your advice, your insight is very important, because that means that some of us are all going to be touched by this in our circle.
Absolutely. And I also was not BRCA positive. And what that means is that I did not have it in my family. They gave me the genetic testing. I don't carry the gene. So that meant it was environmental. And that is where my women's healthcare advocacy came. It took off, because not only now I had been crowned Mrs. American and I was doing the whole thriving after breast cancer, which is still a huge platform for me, but then it moved into the political world. And that's really where, you and I met, at a lot of the, down at Mar-a-Lago and some of the political things, because it became more, this can't be just, I can't just talk about thriving after breast cancer. I now have to talk about women's health care, because what are we doing?
Yes.
Yeah. Why am I getting breast cancer with no gene? That means it's a candle I'm burning, detergent I'm using, something I'm eating, all of the things that RFK have now come out and talked about. And that's really where I've been a champion behind women's healthcare, because things have to change.
And Christy, I've heard people even bring up, you know, birth control.
100%.
Hormone adjustments that we're taking, vaccines. I mean, there's all kinds of things now in our world that we are being forced to participate in at some level.
Absolutely. And birth control, I definitely believe plays a, I mean, I was on birth control for, they thought I might have PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome. So I was on it very young. And so I have no doubt that played a role in my breast cancer, but we just don't have enough information. Right. And that's what we need to know about. Women's healthcare is not where it needs to be.
Yeah. Well, I do hope for RFK, and I really do think that this administration is going to be looking at the health of Americans.
Yes.
Because we are so unhealthy and our children are so sick. And these stats that are coming out about cancer are shocking. And thyroid cancer, too. I mean, this just goes on for women. It's breast cancer and thyroid cancer, and it's at an all-time high. In fact, just my own little story, I went in to see my doctor to get my levels, you know, for my thyroid. And she said, Debbie, you haven't had a mammogram in, you know, a couple years. And I said, no, I know. I got to go and get one. And she goes, it's an all-time high. I've been in the industry for over 30 years. So something is going on. And
absolutely.
Everybody needs to. So there we are. And here we are about figuring out how to help women through this journey. I know one of the other things that you did is you wrote a book, a children's book.
Yes.
Which I think is amazing. Tell me about that.
Yeah. So I wrote a children's book called Finding the David Within. It can be found on Amazon. And this was a way to help children understand cancer in their family. So it doesn't just have to be breast cancer. This just happens to be my story in here. It's a Christian children's book focused on how I told my children. It was very hard at the time. They were 8 and 5. So I had to tell them. I didn't know if I was going to survive this. I had no idea at the time. I did know that there was a long, long road ahead. So this was my way of telling my children and putting focus on what this meant in a relatable way, but also it was very important to me to be transparent. I said from the beginning with my husband when I was diagnosed that I was going to handle this with grace. I didn't know what that meant. I had no idea. I didn't know if I would survive this or not, but I knew that my daughter needed to see women handle things with grace, and I needed my son to see that. And that was important to me. So in that, I wrote Finding the David Within, because to me, the David and Goliath story really resonated. It was about slaying giants in front of you and what that looked like. And you know, I didn't know how the end of the book would end up, but I did know that I had to write it so that other children could understand things like cancer in a way of what that looks like.
I love that. Taking your own story and making it personal for other people to kind of utilize. Now, how do you get that book, and where do you find your Bombshell blog as well? I want to make sure we say that right now. We'll say it again at the end of the show, but where do we get both of those?
Sure. So the book can be found on Amazon. It's called Finding the David Within. It also has in the back a little guide, a Christian guide to, with some questions that you can talk to your children about, as well as some scripture, just for them to be able to understand. And it's even great for children who know somebody with cancer. It may not be affecting them directly, but it's a great way for you to talk to your children about that. And my blog is on ChristyClark.com. It's called the Blonde Bombshell Blog. You can also Google it that way, but it's on www.ChristyClark.com.
Okay. You talk about a pre-cancer Christy and a post-cancer Christy. Tell us about that.
That has been the biggest journey for me.
I'm sure.
I was the mom at every single thing. I also work for hospice. I'm a director of corporate affairs, so I work in legislative and policy for end of life care. Very engaged in my community and with my children especially, and I was just a normal mom, is how I say it. I was just always a normal mom, which is absolutely wonderful. There's nothing better than that.
Yeah.
Then I got cancer, and life just
changed,
turned upside down. But I realized very quickly that God was using me. And I mean that with every fiber of my being. I knew that if God got me through this, there was a reason. And this is my reason. I'm sitting here. I'm in my reason. It took 40 some years for me to find my reason. But how amazing is that? This whole
We never
time
know
of,
what God is up to and what he allows and
you
what he,
don't.
the journey that he takes us through. And
No.
some of it's the mountaintop and some of it's the valley, but
Absolutely. And I was in public speaking my whole life, in policy and legislative type things. So I was always speaking, but it wasn't for that. It was for this. God led me to this. And so then then my eyes opened. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm supposed to be in women's health advocacy. And that's why I've been in all of these things. So the post-cancer me just has a different outlook. I'm still the normal mom. I'm still at everything. But now I know what my children need to see. And it's not the things I thought were important at that time. Now it's things like taking my daughter to Moms for America type things, letting her grow up and seeing firsthand at a young age. You know, we shelter our children until an age. And now I'm all about, my children need to see an inauguration. My children need to see Moms for America and what they do. They need to see people that go through cancer. Some do not survive, and those that do, we then are given a gift from God to say, go do something with it. So the post-cancer me is very much more about being out in the world, sharing my story, and doing God's work in such a different way than just being at home and sharing it with my children. I now share it with everybody, and it's been eye-opening and wonderful. There have been hurdles. The post-cancer me also comes with a different looking wife for my husband. And what I mean by that is now I'm out doing everything and he's deployed, and we're trying to balance this. But I have such a loving husband who has been absolutely 100% behind me. And that's very hard to say with some people. Some people don't know how to navigate all of that. And so I think, you know, you realize what God has given you. And when you realize that those are the important moments, those are the things that you as a couple say, hey, I'm here for a reason. Let's do this together. So he might be away right now, but we do everything together.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure you do. And what a guy. What a guy. I met him as well. And so appreciate, again, you know, his service to our country and helping to protect us here in America. I want to ask, too, when you said it's a little, you know, my husband is a different me, and all of the changes that come with someone when you get a double mastectomy. I mean, I if you haven't had this happen to you, it's almost hard to comprehend, which is where you were originally.
Yes.
And kind of rebuilding your femininity and who you are. How difficult was that? I can't imagine.
So breast cancer takes a toll on you mentally and physically, for sure.
Right.
No matter if you have a lumpectomy all the way to the double mastectomy, it takes a mental toll on you. For one,
sure.
he had to navigate me waking up in the middle of the night and feeling, I remember distinctly feeling my elbow hurting. And I was good. He said, what are you doing? I said, I think I have bone cancer. I think it's moved into my arm. And it sounds so silly in a way, but in those moments.
No, it doesn't.
Once you have cancer, you know, I'm WebMDing myself, which is the worst thing you can do. And right. I was so terrified. So in that is a lot of mental health that has to come so my women's health advocacy is all about what we're not getting for women, insurance coverage, things like that. That's a totally another topic. But part of that is mental health, because when you come out of something like that, your mental health is totally different.
Sure.
My physical health was totally different. It takes a toll on you, sexual intimacy type things, anything like that. Everything has changed because I had a hysterectomy after my double mastectomy, because with breast cancer, ovarian cancer is hand in hand. Well, I was done having children, so I went ahead and had the hysterectomy as my surgical oncologist.
You have been through a lot.
Yeah. I did a lot. And so that is another toll. You're thrust into menopause, not fun at all. So you're going through all of these things. My double mastectomy took a massive toll on me, which is how and why I went to Charlotte, North Carolina. I actually went to a surgical oncologist and an amazing reconstruction plastic surgeon, those things are also something I talk about. It's very important to find somebody who absolutely does things for reconstruction. Augmentation and reconstruction, two totally different things. Somebody who does reconstruction, it's truly an art form. So when I went there, I told him, I said, I don't know. I went to all these other people and they told me I'm going to look reconstructed. I'm in tears. And he said, no, you're not. No, you're not. We're going to do this right. I know what you need. I've never felt better in my life. I never thought that would play such a mental toll on me. But when you come out of a double mastectomy and you're wrapped up and you finally wake up and you look down and everything is gone, that's shocking. It is absolutely shocking. And so that is part of my thriving after breast cancer. Some women choose not to have reconstruction, and it's amazing. I think those women are so empowering, and they have tattooed their chest or they do something just, you know, for themselves that means something to them. But whatever you choose, whether it be reconstruction or not, your mental health is so important in this. Getting my femininity back was important to me. I wanted to feel like a woman again. And that wasn't just all about reconstruction. It was about me feeling good about myself and taking care of myself. But absolutely, that mental health plays a toll. And my husband and I would have those conversations, and it wasn't always easy. It wasn't like we woke up and everything was great. We went through a lot. We talked to counselors about it, and went through things so that we could thrive again as a couple, because that post me was so different. I didn't know who I was anymore. And part of doing the pageant was just for that reason. I wanted to thrive again. I wanted to feel different again.
Wow, what a powerful story. And I didn't even realize about the hysterectomy plus the mastectomy. I mean, this is like, you can't imagine the pain, the adjustments. And I think even now, still probably to this day, you talked about, oh my gosh, my elbow, I got a pain here. You know, we're all kind of like, oh my gosh, you know, I got a pain here. And we all start making these assumptions in our mind. And I think once you are a breast cancer survivor, you still have that mental game that goes on in your head still.
Yes, you do. And I'm just at 5 years. So it's such a big celebration for me this year. But
thank you, Lord.
I'll tell you, the biggest hurdle for me was that. It was the mental game of feeling. Sure. And I remember crying and saying, I don't think I'm ever going to feel cancer. I always felt like cancer was right here. I could never put it behind me. And one of my doctors put me on a low dose of an anti-anxiety to see if that would help me. It was a game changer. And yet I can't tell you how many women have told me, oh, I'm not going to go on those. I'm not going to do that. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. Cancer was here and now it's back here. I don't wake up anymore and think about cancer right away. And I did every day for probably a year. And now, learning to thrive, learning to be the post-cancer me, and being on something for my mental health has been a game changer for me. And that's what I try to urge women, that you've got to be your own advocate. If you are feeling that something's not right and you just, every time you keep hitting these roadblocks mentally, there is no shame in doing something for you to make you feel like yourself again. It don't waste your life. God has given you, if you have air in your lungs, you got your story to tell. So do that and put those things first. You absolutely have to.
Well, beautiful closing advice, Christy. I so appreciate you coming by and sharing your story. One last sign off here to our moms to encourage them, either if they're dealing with cancer or how to stay healthy and aware. What would be your closing words?
Well, I'm excited about this new administration for many reasons, but mainly because of the healthcare aspect that we talked about. And I'm really delving into that women's healthcare advocacy. And the one thing that
we need it. We need it.
I know we do. And you know, you've got number one is heart disease. Number two is cancer for women, breast cancer being the top. Those two things are definitely not looked at, and we're working on it. We're working on getting these insurance things changed. We need these things to be covered. My double mastectomy was covered, but my reconstruction was not. Can you imagine that? I mean, just
No.
to throw out a little bit of that, here I am, a woman that have had both my breasts cut off, but yet we've had trans surgeries that
I
are
was just about
covered.
to say that, yeah.
And so my women's
But
healthcare advocacy touches on that. It touches on women's healthcare is not abortion, and yet that is all we talk about.
right.
We have work to do. But in the meantime, ladies, eat healthy, exercise, definitely do some kind of weight-bearing exercise. Watch what you're eating as far as those types of red dyes and things like that. Be careful of what you are washing your clothes in and doing things like that. Those things are very, very, very important. And in the meantime, we are going to keep fighting for women's health care and getting that advanced. And I think this is the administration to do it.
Good, good, good. We're so hopeful. And we definitely want to mention that you can check out your Blonde Bombshell on ChristyClark.com. Is that
Yes,
it?
that's it.
Okay. So check it out because I know that you're going to keep us updated and we want our moms to check it out because, again, 1 in 8 women will deal with some type of cancer situation. And that is a very high number. So please, God, we can get this under control. We're looking for some answers from this administration, and we will definitely be looking to hear from you on your blog. So thank you, Christy, for joining us,
Thank
and
you.
keep fighting the fight.
Will do. Thanks, Debbie. It was great seeing you again.
All right, moms, thanks so much again for joining us here on the Moms for America podcast. What an inspiring story, and a story that is very important for moms all across this country. So please share Christy's story with them. I know that she would be an encouragement in her journey for thriving through breast cancer. So please share this podcast with your mom friends. And also, like I mentioned earlier, please sign up for our newsletter. We have so many amazing programs, resources, seminars, webinars, and special events all across the country to support you in your journey through motherhood. Go to momsforamerica.us. Check out our cottage meetings. Everything from the kitchen table to public policy, we have it all. Parental rights, everything that you need to raise your kids in your home, because you are the mama bear. So, moms, let's keep changing our country. And how do we do that? We do that one home at a time. All right, I will see you next week. Thanks so much for joining us, and God bless. A special thank you to our sponsors, the Herzog Foundation and Tuvu. The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of the Herzog Foundation.